All right, it is August 21st, and Giancarlo Stanton has 45 home runs. That's 24 in his last 39 games. Josh, this guy is unreal.
I mean, that's pretty good. Yeah, I would take that. I would take that on my team.
Yeah, right now he's on pace for 59 home runs. It's still four behind Maris's 61 home run pace from 1961. But we're here to discuss, after talking about Giancarlo a lot last week in our Launch Angles podcast, whether or not he can get the job done. Before we get into that, though, I want to run a quick rundown of why 61 is the number we want to look at here and not Barry Bonds' absurd 73, if you don't mind. So, in 1920, Babe Ruth hit 54 home runs.
Which I believe is still a record in case you were marching down to Charlottesville.
That bested his own record of 29 set the year previous. And really marks the advent of the live ball era, of the home run era, of the time when people can point to home runs as a regularly happening majestic occurrence within the greatest sport on the world.
I do believe he originated the term dong. I believe that's accredited to Babe Ruth, yes.
Yep. Interesting fact, though, that was just what he called hot dogs. It was sports writers who got confused along the way. In 1921, Babe Ruth hit 59, and in 1927, he hit 60. That record stood for 34 years until 1961. Roger Maris came along in the midst of a brilliant home run race with teammate Mickey Mantle, hit 61 home runs. Overall, from 1920 to 1989, 11 players combined for 17 50-plus home run seasons. Nine of those guys are in the Hall of Fame. The two that are not are Roger Maris and George Brett, who hit 50-plus home runs in 1977. And the other guys, Jimmy Fox has two, Ralph Kiner has two, Willie Mays has two, Mickey Mantle has two, and Babe Ruth has four seasons of 50-plus home runs. Cool. Some of the other guys who hit 50-plus home runs, but only did it once, include Hank Greenberg, who hit 58, Hack Wilson, and Johnny Mize. Although Johnny Mize is a Hall of Famer. So, well, all three of those guys are Hall of Famers. Anyway, I'm rambling now. 1990 brought about a change in baseball. It was the advent of the steroid era, when we saw the first truly otherworldly home run spike. Since 1990, 26 instances of a 50-plus home run season. Most of those happened during the height of the steroid era. There were some, such as Cecil Fielder in 1990, Ken Griffey Jr. in 97 and 98, and more recently, Jose Bautista, Chris Davis, and Prince Fielder are all guys who have had 50-plus home run seasons. But were never linked to steroids. I bring all this up just to say that all the times when Roger Maris's record of 61 was broken, it was by a guy who was on steroids. It was Sammy Sosa, Mark McGwire, and Barry Bonds are the three guys who have beaten it, and they combined for six seasons of better than 61 home runs. I think all in all, we've become kind of cautious around the power hitter, which is why we haven't seen the one of the reasons we haven't seen the insane praise for in the home run chase that Giancarlo Stanton is making that we saw in 1998 when McGwire and Sosa both did it and Ken Griffey Jr. hit the 56. But I think we should be really excited for Giancarlo Stanton's chase. Josh, I'm going to let you take over and answer the question, can Giancarlo get the job done?
Well, it's, you know, as you mentioned before, he's slightly behind pace, but, you know, that's not really, you know, looking at the fact that he's been able to flip a switch here recently. Just looking at the amount of dongs he's just mashed since the All-Star break, you know, it's almost as if somebody's basically taken the soul of Aaron Judge from the first half and, you know, transported it over to Giancarlo's body, and now he's just taken off and just chasing down that record. You know, one aside I wanted to make was, it was interesting that, you know, he kind of set the goal for himself at 60 home runs, and, you know, he gave pretty interesting reasoning for it. You know, he obviously alluded to Barry Bonds and the other home run seasons by Maguire and Sosa, you know, as basically being tainted because they were, you know, done in the steroid era, connected to steroids. He also mentioned how, like, the Babe Ruth one was done at a time where, you know, your talent pool wasn't nearly as deep because you were excluding large swaths of the population, people of color, foreigners, from being able to play. So, plus at the time they didn't throw sliders. I love tossing that one out there. But, you know, and a lot of people didn't really like Maris's home run record because they felt like it wasn't real because he was able to do it in a few more games played at the time than what Babe Ruth did when he set the original record. So, I mean, there's always been this kind of, like, you know, aura of awesomeness with the home run record, but there's also always been this kind of, like, I don't want to say controversy, but there's always been this kind of just, like, weird stipulation that people put on it. Whereas, like, it kind of feels like Giancarlo Stanton's approach is kind of, like, it's pretty pure. I mean, you know, the one thing that we know about him is that he's a massive guy. I mean, this is a dude who was getting offers out of high school to go play tight end in college for some of the biggest college football programs. And we also know that, you know, Joe, I think you were mentioning it to me earlier. You might have a little bit more information, but, you know, the size of somebody, their height and the weight of a person correlates pretty well with how many home runs or the power you can expect the hitter to have.
Yeah, it's pretty simple. I don't have direct numbers in front of me, but Fangraphs has written on this and the Hardball Times has written on this. And there have been other, you know, Sloan papers published on this. But the very simple answer is, bigger guys hit the ball harder, and taller guys tend to get more lift on the ball. So bigger, taller guys, heavier, taller guys, tend to hit more home runs. And Giancarlo Stanton, as you mentioned, is 6'6", 245.
Yeah, I think that both qualifies as a big and a strong guy. So, yeah, it's no surprise that he's been able to kind of show a power outlet that we all expected when he signed his contract. One other thing I thought was interesting is, like, if you really watch him, he kind of has almost the perfect body too to kind of lift dongs. I mean, he's a big dude, obviously, but he's also got, you know, rather short arms for his frame. He's a big torso, but his arms aren't so long that he's a dude that you're just going to murder inside with fastballs and, you know, be able to attack that hole. Like, he's got pretty good control of the zone from side to side, and as long as he's able to recognize pitches early and, you know, not chase those sliders in the dirt like he and a lot of power hitters are prone to doing. I mean, you're seeing what happens.
Yeah, and just on another note on his body type, just a more direct explanation of why that's valuable. It's because, and correct me if I'm wrong, most of your power as a hitter is generated from your core. It's from your hips. It's from your midsection, your abs, and your back.
Yep.
And so having a very large torso and core section allows him to generate more torque, correct?
Exactly.
Plus, he gets that instep. He kind of steps a little bit in to control his swing and keep him from pulling his front hip out, but that also allows him to generate a lot of power, especially to center field.
It's a interesting thing you mentioned that too, because another person who's on the exact opposite of the spectrum in terms of size has a similar type swing, and that's Jose Altuve. He's mm-hmm. another dude. Definitely. When you watch his swing, he definitely makes sure that his, you know, I don't want to say stepping across himself, but his foot is moving closer towards the front of the plate, and he's able to really turn on a ball and kind of create torque even with his smaller frame. I mean, you're seeing the same thing from Giancarlo, and you're seeing balls just being launched all over the place.
Mookie Betts does something similar, although he's not quite as small as Jose Altuve, but he's not a big guy.
Right.
And he had 31 home runs last year. He's not going to hit that many this year, but he's certainly capable of being a quote-unquote power hitter. Obviously, nobody quite the physical Adonis of Giancarlo Stanton.
Save for Aaron Judge.
Right. We'll get to Judge later. But, you know, Giancarlo Stanton does seem to be specifically constructed for an assault on the 61 home run record. Doesn't it?
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Now, there has been some very notable and I think almost proven discussion about there potentially being, actually, I guess before we move on to in general, Giancarlo's swing, I just wanted to bring up, also other than just his body type, his swing is also particularly advantageous for hitting a lot of home runs. He's got a long swing, but it's not one of these big, like, loopy uppercut swings. It seems very direct.
It's different from a Joey Gallo, who you clearly see kind of basically, or even a lot of left-handed power hitters you see kind of like a Chris Davis, where it's kind of like their hands start high, they get down to the waist, and then kind of make their way upwards trying to lift the ball. Giancarlo Stanton has kind of the more the plane that you expect to see when you, you're talking to coaches about a good swing path. He stays, quote unquote, on level with the ball, on the flight path of the ball for a large amount of his swing. I mean, he's got a very flat swing. He's getting to the ball. He's getting through the ball. And, you know, it's one of the things I think we've all heard it, you know, you're trying to create backspin off the ball because that's going to help it to carry farther. And it's a lot easier to do that when you're kind of hitting down on the ball or at least down through the ball instead of kind of, you know, having a uppercut swing and potentially topping a ball and causing it to have topspin. So, yeah, his swing is, you know, when it's on as it is right now and it's honed, it is designed to go out and mash balls. And like with any other power hitter, you're going to see, you know, those times where he's going to swing through and he's going to miss on a couple, but it's a different era of baseball that we're playing in. That's kind of just to be expected now, and the payoffs are showing in the numbers that he's putting up and the value he's bringing to the Marlins.
Yeah, and it's also worth mentioning that between his size, his swing path, and his body type, it shouldn't be a surprise to anyone that Giancarlo Stanton is among the tops in the league in terms of average batted ball velocity and average launch angle.
Yeah, there's no surprises there. But, you know, kind of getting back, you know, circling around to the question, you know, will he get to that 60 plateau that we all want to see? I really don't see any reason why he wouldn't now. You know, he's in the zone. He's been able to hit all kinds of pitches. We were mentioning earlier, I mean, he's hit a lot of good pitches. I mean, he's hit pitches that pitchers have been spotting up low and away, and he's able to, you know, take them and go to center field. I mean, he's not somebody who's really going to go opposite with the swing that we were describing earlier, but he is somebody who's able to let the pitch travel and get it on the fat part of the bat. And he's so strong and his hands are so quick that he's able to still, you know, almost flick a ball out to the deepest part of the park with ease. So it's kind of one of those things, like, I truly would be surprised, you know, if he's locked in terms of approach and he's locked in terms of, you know, getting the at-bats and getting into good count so he can kind of go ahead and let the dogs eat, then yeah, I think he's got a chance. The only thing I'm scared of is, you know, as we look into it, we're heading into September, and that's when you start to see a lot of teams kind of pull up and fill out their 40-man rosters, the expanded rosters for September. And so, you know, game plans kind of change. You see a lot more matchups as more pitchers get in there, get innings. I would say the rhythm of the games tend to be a little bit off. I wouldn't call it bizarro baseball, but it's definitely a different environment. I mean, what do you think? Do you think that might impact his progress towards 60 at all?
I'm more concerned with whether or not Giancarlo will go cold in terms of his impact to 60. I think as he gets up, first of all, the Marlins are bad, so nobody's going to be pitching around Giancarlo to try to get to other guys because they're not going to be in close games. They're not going to be worried about losing to the Marlins. The Marlins just aren't good enough. So I think he's going to see the pitches, and I'm not sure it because of how good of a hitter is, it's really going to matter who the pitchers are he's facing. I'm more concerned about whether or not he might go cold again because, as we said, he has been on an incredible streak, 24 home runs in 39 games. Is inhuman. And if he slows down even a little bit, in fact, he needs to pick up the pace. Well, sort of.
Technically.
He needs to, he needs 16 more home runs to reach 61 in, a month plus worth of games.
Right. I think there's about like 40 games left for them, right?
Yeah. He can't really slow down that pace. And if he slows down at all, he's not really getting to 61.
That's true. I guess I'm, learning from my doubts that I had towards Aaron Judge in the season that he was having at the beginning. Of course, that proved true now in the second half. Goddamn home run derby, just, sucking the power of good hitters all the time. But I would say that, I actually want to push back a little bit on the assessment of the Marlins and him not having the protection in the lineup. Simply because the Marlins' problem hasn't really been hitting, it's been pitching. Their pitching staff is awful. Mm-hmm. I mean, their ace right now is Dan Straley. But when you look at their lineup, you have a Christian Yelich, you have a Marcelo Ozuna. I mean, even having someone like a D. Gordon, Justin Bourne there. Like, there are some pretty good bats down there in Miami. So I don't really foresee him kind of getting the walk treatment. I don't see people trying to, I wouldn't say purposely impede his pursuit of 60, but I don't think you're going to see the same kind of just like, oh, man, this is – if you're going to let one guy hurt us, don't let it be Giancarlo. It's kind of like, no, that entire lineup is capable of hurting you at any time, and Stanton just happens to be hot right now. But I think you're going to still see him get pitches to hit, even if it is, games where they're behind because that staff's just so terrible.
Yeah, I agree with that. I want to jump now to something I started to talk about before and then changed gears to talk about Giancarlo Stanton's swing and his batted ball velocity and all that jazz. And that is the potential other explanation for the recent home run surge and also along with Giancarlo Stanton becoming a more disciplined hitter, his home runs. And that is whether or not the MLB is playing with juiced balls.
Murder mystery. We'll never know.
I'm inclined to believe it's true. So for those of you who aren't in the know, the general theory goes that after the All-Star break in 2015, the MLB switched ball providers, which I believe is true, but I'd have to double check that.
No, that part is true. Yep.
The new ball is wound tighter, which means it reacts off the bat more aggressively, which would lead to more home runs because of a higher average batted ball velocity. Just a little bit can make a big difference for those home runs.
Yep. So it's kind of interesting. Baseballs, we all know they're 9-inch diameters, 5 ounces. But when it comes to major league testing, a big thing that matters, obviously, is kind of, how quote-unquote juice they are. And they measure something called the coefficient of restitution. Shout out to all you physics nerds out there. And all it does is just measure the bounciness of a ball. So, if you take that yarn, you wind it a little tighter around the rubber core, the ball's a little bit harder. It's a bit more of a rock. It's a more clean transfer of energy from the bat to the ball, therefore meaning it's going to flow farther. But there are other ways, too, to also affect the ball. Sometimes you can mess with the seams. And I think, you know, as we mentioned, we've kind of seen some of the effect of that too, because, you know, it's not just the hitters who are also kind of having strange behavior due to these new balls, but we're also seeing an uptick in pitchers having blisters and having to go on the DL or miss starts or miss innings due to, you know, blisters that are forming on their throwing hands, you know, potentially because of a new ball that's been introduced.
And just a quick note on the seams. The seams are important because bigger seams would create more of a effect. What's Josh, you're gonna have to help me with the name of the effect of the air moving around the ball.
I believe it's Magnus effect, something like that. Let me see here.
Yeah, it is the Magnus effect.
Magnus effect. Yeah.
It'll create a more impactful Magnus effect, so a ball spinning backwards off the bat will fly further. It'll also rub pitchers' hands, causing blisters, and the Magnus effect will be in play for pitchers throwing breaking balls. And we have seen a big increase in strikeouts, although it's unclear if that is more connected to the way players are hitting, trying to go for more power, and not worrying about striking out, or if there is some indication that balls are breaking a little bit harder.
Yeah, it's interesting. Mainly because, you know, we're able to go right back and be able to kind of say definitively that there's been a spike in home runs since the All-Star break of 2015. You can look at the two halves of that year and see that there's a notable difference. You can also see that the spike that, you know, usually if you think it's a spike, that means it's going to come back down. It's been a sustained kind of climb and it's plateaued at a higher level up until today. I think you can also know there's been a large uptick in blisters, like we were saying, most famously Rich Hill, you know, and his blister problems that he's been having since the second half of last year. I'm sorry, of 2015.
Rich Hill throws 50% breaking balls, just saying.
Yep, there you go. So it's kind of one of those things where, you know, it's interesting because Commissioner Manfred has actually been pretty coy about it and has come through and has said, hey, we haven't changed the ball. We got it tested. The balls aren't different. This is our official report or whatever. And it just makes me think back. There was actually an episode in the Nippon League, Nippon Professional Leagues. That's the Japanese Major League Baseball. They were in a situation where they, I believe their president, their commissioner, kind of saw, you know, the game slowing down a little bit. Pitchers were getting pretty good. So they went ahead and juiced the ball. And, you know, didn't say anything, lied about it. All of a sudden, everybody came out and started hitting taters everywhere. And he ended up losing his job over the cover-up of trying to, you know, hide the fact that they had juiced the balls. I think you have a lot of baseball purists who are kind of sitting there going like, hey, these home run totals, you know, they're mad at the fact that, you know, basically it seems like there's been an approach of, hey, look, you know, try and hit a home run, and if you strike out, that's okay. But in the event that you have more juice balls out there, it actually makes more sense to go after it because it's easier to do than it has been in the past.
Yeah, so juice ball, it's a mystery. I'm a believer that the ball is juiced right now. I think we don't have anything more than speculative evidence, so we're not going to see any reporters coming out and say, hey, the ball is juiced. Luckily, you and I aren't reporters. We're just two dudes on the internet. So I'm going to say the ball is juiced.
Oh, I'm right there with you.
Now, moving on, just to wind this up, as we've said, it's not just Giancarlo out there mashing taters these days. We've been talking about this now for two podcasts. I figure a good way to end this conversation, assuming Giancarlo doesn't reach 61 this year, going into next year, and also assuming that they don't change the ball back in the offseason, going into next year, we're probably going to get a lot of media coverage about the potential race. I know some of my earliest baseball memories, well, not that early, I was 7, but still pretty early, were the summer of 1998 home run chase. You know, even going into that summer, everybody was like, Griffey can do it, McGuire can do it. Sammy Sosa kind of came out of nowhere in June. All those guys basically dominated headlines for the entire summer. They were on the front page of every newspaper. And if Giancarlo gets close and falls short, I think we could see a similar kind of media spectacle around the home run chase next summer. So I think a good way to end this discussion might be to pick out some non-Giancarlo Stanton candidates for the home run race of 2018 and break down why they could and couldn't do it. Do you want to go first or should I go first?
I can go first. I mean, I think we can start with the one that's pretty obvious there. I think we can throw out Aaron Judge's name. He's clearly shown that he has the size. He's clearly shown that he has the power. You know, with all power hitters, you know, you basically hope for the consistency to be able to do it over a 162 game span. And as we're seeing right now, you know, hey, look, he made strides in some parts of his swing, but now he's suffering in other parts of his swing. He's still strong enough that, you know, he's eventually going to hit a tater every once in a while. But, you know, is he going to really be able to put up a season where he can do 60 home runs in 162 games?
Yeah, I'm not a big Judge believer for next year. I think maybe in a few years, but I think the discipline adjustment and the swing adjustment he'd have to make to get there is pretty extreme right now. I think we're seeing in the second half of this season, he's just getting abused by pitchers for the holes in his swing. I think another really obvious candidate is Bryce Harper in DC, the prodigy himself. He had 40-something home runs a couple years ago, then he had a down year, now he's back this year. He looks like he's going to hit around 40 home runs again. But the power is obviously there. I think he can do it just because he's a big, strong guy. He knows how to hit. He's in a lineup that where he could afford to swing away and hit for more power. I question whether or not he can stay healthy, but if I were to pick somebody other than Giancarlo, I think that might be my guy.
Yeah, I don't blame you. I mean, he definitely has the power, that's for sure. And it's funny for me to say this because I think I sound ridiculous as I say it, but I see him as being a more likely candidate to hit 60 home runs in a season than Mike Trout. And that's mostly to do with the fact that he has a much better lineup to hit in. I mean, basically, you're going through murderer's row of, you know, having to deal with Daniel Murphy, having to deal with Ryan Zimmerman, having to deal with Anthony Rendon, to where he can kind of guarantee himself to see, you know, going to be a lot of people on base. He's going to guarantee seeing a lot of fastballs and just pitches up in the zone that he'll be able to hit. I think Mike Trout is in a position where he's still just kind of having to do it all. And, you know, it doesn't really behoove him to go out and drop his batting average, you know, 50 points as he tries to just lift everything out of the sky, given that he doesn't have a lot of people on. But, I mean, I think those are two names that I would put right up there at the top of the list. And, I mean, it makes sense. Those are two generational talents. Those are two guys that we can definitively say are very good at baseball.
Yeah, I think Mike Trout is an outside shot kind of guy. I think he'd have to consciously make the decision that he's going to try to hit a home run every time at the plate. You know, but he definitely has all the tools necessary. He's very much a Mickey Mantle type player. What about Paul Goldschmidt in Arizona? He's a guy with a lot of power, but maybe is like Mike Trout, doesn't have the approach to go out and hit 50, 60 home runs.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think Goldschmidt is somebody you can look at it almost kind of like a Joey Votto type, where it's like, you know, he could go out there and just hit a bunch of taters and just, you know, collect home runs and worry about his stats. But he definitely has taken more of a team approach, kind of doing the things that are necessary, which is, you know, working the walks, getting on base, just being generally useful at the plate. I mean, when you want to look at, you know, Goldschmidt and look at kind of his, you know, pure opposite right now, I think you would throw out the name like Joey Gallo. Joey Gallo is a dude who I think everybody in the world knows could hit 60 home runs in a season if he had if strikeouts, you know, didn't happen. If you took 4 or 5 strikes to get out, you know, he'd have a chance. But you know, that's just somebody who kind of goes and, you know, the Rangers are kind of fostering it. They're telling him to take this approach. Like, you are the power hitter. Go out there. See how far you can hit a ball. Whereas you don't really see that approach with Goldschmidt. He is definitely somebody who's out there trying to hit balls hard, but he's trying to put them on the line. He's not necessarily trying to lift them, though he is, you know, thriving in this new environment of trying to just get balls up in the air. But that's definitely somebody who I think Goldschmidt is somebody who I think definitely has a chance, and might be kind of like my surprise candidate. You know, he plays in Arizona. Not too many people are going to pay attention to him until he probably has about 45 or 50 home runs, but I think he could do it in a season.
Yeah, and Joey Gallo is an interesting choice. You know, you mentioned that Joey Gallo may not be a good enough hitter to get there, but, you know, as of right now, Joey Gallo is third in the league with 35 home runs. He's batting .205. He has 152 strikeouts and 410 plate appearances.
Oh, my God.
Those parts do not bode well, but he really only needs to improve a little bit in cutting down the strikeouts to make himself a much higher impact hitter. And his power is, I mean, it's unreal. It's an 80 out of 80 on the scouting scale. His raw
light
power.
Tower power is how they colloquially refer to it. I mean, no stadium can contain him. And I mean, the thing is, like, he does have the approach of just, yo, let me go out here and hit tanks. I think the last time I looked at it, he had
mashing tears.
And when I last looked, he had 35 base hits that were not home runs, and then 33 home runs. And I think he has more home runs than he does singles. I mean, he's not trying to do that. He is trying to hit the ball hard. That is his skill. That's what he's good at. That's what he's going to do. So if he wants to put up a, I say this tongue-in-cheekly, a Brady Anderson-like season where he just, puts it all together, then, I think he definitely has the power to do it. It's just kind of one of those, do you trust him to be able to make contact enough in the season for 60 of them to go out?
Yeah, I think those are the main guys who might be favorites to compete with Giancarlo. But there are some outsiders in there as well who at least have the tools and have shown that they can hit a lot of home runs. Miguel Sano certainly has the power, but he's so young we don't know anything about him. But I want to mention two third basemen real quick. First, Chris Bryant for the Cubs, who grew up playing in Vegas with Joey Gallo and Bryce Harper. And Nolan Arenado, who hit 42 home runs in 2015 and 41 home runs last year in 2016, and he has 27 this year.
Yeah. Nolan Arenado for sure is somebody who, you know, you have to respect the power of. But something will be made of the fact that he plays out in Colorado and, gets the, benefit of a hitter's environment. But at the same time, like, you just don't luck your way to 60 home runs. You hit them. If you're a good enough hitter, then you'll hit 60 home runs. Like, that's the way that works. I don't know if I would expect him to be able to do it, but I think I would agree with you in just listing him as an outside chance. I think Chris Bryant might be a little bit more of the likely candidate between the two. And once again, I kind of just put that down to the fact that, I mean, he plays in such a good lineup that he's going to see good pitches. He's not going to be worked around. I know there is some protection in that Rockies lineup, and I know there are other good hitters, but I think when you look at the two lineups up and down, I mean, give me the Cubs lineup for sure.
Yeah, and the only other guy I could think to mention might be Cody Bellinger with the Dodgers, but playing in Chavez Ravine, that's not a hitter-friendly park.
Yep.
I think he's a far outside candidate. Plus, he's a rookie. Yep. It's hard to know much.
I look at him as I look at Miguel Sano. It's like, yep, that's why you're up here. That's that's what we were expecting out of you. But then it becomes one of those, like, okay, the next step is when the league adjusts, when the league kind of figures out what you do and what you like and what you don't like. You know, are you able to kind of do it there? And like, you know, I mean, that's where we're looking at with Aaron Judge. I think Sano, he's been kind of quiet this second half. But, you know, Bellinger's been pretty good. Dodgers are winning, so that's definitely helping him. Hitting's contagious. But it will be interesting to see how he develops. Once again, like you said earlier, I don't know if I would necessarily list him as somebody I expect to do it next year in 2018. But I wouldn't be surprised if we had this conversation again in 2020 or 2021 and we're just like, yeah, Bellinger's a front runner.
I want to mention one more guy as a far outside candidate because he's never proven that he's been this kind of hitter. But like we mentioned with Judge, with Giancarlo, and it should be noted Chris Bryant and Joey Gallo in this conversation as well, this guy I'm about to mention has the body type. And it seems to have the swing to be able to be that kind of home run hitter. And I'm talking about Freddie Freeman in Atlanta.
Yeah, that's a good one. When you think back to the Atlanta team, when they had Freddie Freeman and they had Jason Hayward, they had these two guys who were just big horses, big donkeys who could go out and launch balls if they wanted to. But for whatever reason, the power numbers were never really there with them. They would bang a lot of doubles. And they would get on base a good amount, but they weren't necessarily two guys who were just putting on a Bash Brothers display of taters all over the yard. It would be interesting to see. They're in a new stadium now, so that's going to be a new environment. I mean, atmosphere is probably about the same, but it's going to be interesting to see as he becomes the face of the franchise and he's kind of relied on to, you know, progress them through these rough times. Will he be able to kind of benefit from it and be the guy who's getting out there and, you know, launching bombs and helping to restore the franchise? Or is he going to kind of be mired in mediocrity as he's kind of just, you know, surrounded by a lineup that doesn't really have a lot of punch beside him?
Yeah, and it's worth noting that his highest home run total for his career was last year at only 34.
Yep.
But his next highest is 23, which he did twice. But this year he has 22 home runs in 78 games. That's 22 home runs and 343 plate appearances. And he's only struck out 63 times.
Yeah.
It seems like the kind of profile that could translate to a huge home run spike because it seems like he's gotten a much better power profile as a more as he's developed as a hitter, but it's for me it's one of those. I look at him as a power hitter. He looks like a major power hitter, but you have to show me before I'm a believer.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the thing that we're giving him credit for there is that he's a good hitter. Like we know he's a good hitter. We know he has the bat to ball skills to go out there and make a lot of contact. Now you're just kind of saying, hey, look, like, can you do a lot of contact while focusing on getting it up in the air a little bit more? And when you think about it, when you mention those home run totals in the, you know, high 20s, mid 30s, you know, we're asking, you know, hey, can he make like almost a 100% increase in his home run totals? And we're doing that based off the fact that he's just a good hitter. So, yeah, I agree with you. You know, once he kind of shows that he has that approach and he kind of has that intentionality of trying to go out there and put a few more dingers on the board, then I would say, hey, look, we need to bump him up in the likelihood race for being able to top 60 in a season. But until then, it's really hard to kind of envision him, you know, making that big of a jump and that big of an approach.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's getting time to wrap this podcast up because it's now twice as long as we intended it to be.
I mean, I love talking about dongs.
You seem like a guy who enjoys a good dong.
I love me a good dong.
Real quick before we go, whether it's Giancarlo or one of the guys we just mentioned, or maybe even just somebody else who surprises us, are we going to see somebody hit 61 in the next few years during this most recent home run power search?
Sure. I would be willing to put a sizable amount of money on it simply because I think the ball is juice, as we mentioned earlier. And also, we're kind of seeing that, hey, look, it's really not that disadvantageous to go out there and strike out a bunch if you're able to go out and hit these bombs. So I think with the younger influx of players coming in and the refined approach that they're taking and then the new run scoring environment that we're living in, I think it's totally possible that we would see – I think it's very likely that we would see a 60 home run season within the next 3 years.
I agree with everything you just said, but I look back at, you know, all the times that somebody hit 60 and minus the ones that were juiced, it happened twice. You had a couple guys get close, but the guys who did it were big, strong at Oxes, Roger Maris, Babe Ruth. Two guys who got close at 58 were Hank Greenberg and Jimmy Fox. I think if anybody's going to do it, it's going to be Giancarlo. Otherwise, I think we'll see a couple of seasons around 50, but nothing crossing that magical threshold.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty tough to do. I mean, these are major league pitchers, and you're trying to take them yabo 60 times in a season. It's not an easy task.
Yep. Well, I think that just about wraps it up. Josh, many happy dongs in your future.
Can't wait.
Can't wait. I'll see you next week, buddy.